It's our SME feature, and today we catch up with an entrepreneur who's made it his business to convert homes into digital homes of the future with progressive functionalities. He's also supported by a community of entrepreneurs. They share ideas about how to improve their businesses and generally encourage each other. Well, to tell us about it, I'm joined on the line by Darren Swanepoel. He's the founder of D1. Thanks very much, Darren, for joining us. So your technology for the home sounds awesome. Just elaborate further as to all the automated features D1 is able to offer. And are you essentially an online business?
No, so we're not an online business. We're very much hands on the ground. And what we automate shifts from security to sound to lighting. The whole idea is to enhance the experience of the home using technology. And it's to give a single interface into all these services. So typically you would have an alarm panel and an intercom and a light switch and a volume knob and 5 remotes on your coffee table. And what we do is consolidate that all so that you've got one thing and you can control it all in an intuitive way. So you don't have 50 buttons and 11 volume knobs and things like that.
Yeah, sounds great, but it also sounds like you're making people lazy. So is the use of biometrics also a big part of what you offer your clients?
Yeah, so that falls into the security part. So that would be access control. And that's basically just access in and out of the house.
Yes.
So intelligent door locks and gates and pedestrian access, yeah.
I understand that your business is predominantly in the Western Cape. Is there a fair bit of an appetite for your offering? And presumably it's for your more well-heeled customer, because this wholesale fit-out of a fully automated house can't be cheap.
Correct, yeah. No, spot on. That's absolutely right, yeah. And it is a massive appetite. We've been in the game 12 years in Cape Town, and there were guys in long before us, and it's quite a big industry.
Mm.
And it is your upmarket residential sector.
Obviously, much would depend on the size of the house as well, but roughly what sort of minimum price level are we talking about to have the kind of comprehensive installment that you guys offer?
In price of the house value?
No, not the house value, but in terms of the installation of the automated systems. Obviously, like I say, it's dependent on the size of the house.
Yes. Yeah, I'd say it probably starts with the thing is, the automation part is just a component.
Mm.
So the big amount comes from all the various subsystems, so an alarm system, an intercom, a sound system. So all those components need to be installed. So the integration of those probably starts at around 100 grand. It's a real broad thumbsuck figure.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also putting in all of those other systems, which we do. So the bottom number comes up to quite a bit. But it's the kind of thing that you were going to spend anyway. You were going to put Wi-Fi in. You were going to put an alarm. You were going to have an intercom. There was going to be TV. So all of those things should be in the budget already.
Yeah.
And then just integrating them is that last bit, which throw a number out there, say 100 grand.
Sure. Okay. Thank you for giving us a sense. So you mentioned earlier that you've been running the business for some 12 years or so. What made you decide to start up the business, and what were some of the challenges that you faced?
Sure. So I think, like a lot of entrepreneurs, I didn't want to have a job. I had a degree in electrical engineering and stumbled across a company that was selling franchises in this space. And I was in sales of something else. I was trying to sell him a product, and he ended up selling me his product. And I bought a franchise from them and got started and literally got my hands dirty. I was everything. I got scars from manual working on site.
Mm.
And we were selling the bottom end stuff. So when you go cheap on this stuff, you end up buying headaches.
Mm.
And so I was a professional headache salesman. And after a year of that, I got a degree in Stress 101, and then ended up being employed by a company that was well established and worked with them. And then left for a bit, and then some clients asked me to get involved in some of their projects, and it kind of organically just started again.
Mm.
Projects started coming in and opportunities, and it just kind of evolved. And it was never a conscious effort to build a business, to say, okay, this is where we're going. It was just responding to what was in front of me.
Mm.
And in the last few years, I've started realizing, okay, I need to get some direction and start actually building something.
So, in connection with that, you mentioned that an organization called EOA has helped you a lot in improving your business strategy and performance. Who are EOA, and what sort of support have they extended to you?
So EOA is a network. And it's a kind of a sub-network of a greater organization called EO, which is Entrepreneurs Organization. And they're a global network of entrepreneurs with some incredible benefits. And to qualify for that network, your business needs to be earning more than $1 million US per year. Then the accelerator, EOA, falls below that. And that's for smaller companies that are wanting to scale, to grow, and to build themselves into a more established business that would qualify for EO. So I joined when the chapter started in Cape Town, which was 3 years ago. And it's been an absolute game changer. From kind of floundering around in the dark, living in survival mode, just literally running from fire to fire, I now have tools to implement and to execute. I also have support and a group of peers that understands my challenges. And, there's a reason I'm in my third year. I get so much out of it. And I'm serving on the board as well.
Yes.
And that's been a really cool opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I think so to try and nutshell it.
It's difficult.
It is difficult, but they've moved me from a state of survival to a state of optimism and support and confidence. I think it's helped my confidence in a big way, because I felt alone and isolated, and I kind of was dealing with all these big challenges all alone, and not knowing that a lot of them were quite common and that there were ways to overcome them. And people that had experience are now sharing that with me and giving me a big foot up. So
even with the kind of confidence that you now have, having been associated with this network, what about the economic context that we're in? Do you think that with the tools that you have, you can be more resilient in a situation where things are quite tough, and even your high net worth individuals, you know, may have to make decisions about cutting costs and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. Things have quietened down, and we've noticed that as well. And I'm so glad that I'm not in the situation I was before, because I was kind of sitting there waiting for calls. Whereas now I feel a bit more empowered to be proactive and to set things up. I've got a network of people that I can call on, and I've got opportunities now that didn't exist before. So yeah, it's helpful in all scenarios. And in terms of like related specifically to the economy as it is now.
Yes.
I think I've got access to opportunities that weren't there before.
Super.
And I've got tools to deal with challenges and trends. And so, yeah.
So Darren, you know, one of the things that we always talk about, you know, in the financial media space is, you know, the importance of SMEs in helping to be a game changer in terms of creating jobs. How many staff have you managed to recruit since you started 12 years back?
So currently we've got 6 people that are full-time employed, and then we subcontract 4 to 8 depending on demand.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still quite small in terms of staff constituent. We're like a family. So I do, it's so nice to have a team and have a staff, and using tools like core values and a mission and having something to build a culture in a business makes it so much more than just bossing people around and trying to get them to do something so you can make money.
Yes.
There's a bigger picture, which is really rewarding.
Oh, don't minimize your success in that regard. You know, 64 jobs, that's not a joke. And also in South Africa, there's the dependency ratio as well. So that's good. So where is D1 looking to gain some growth in the business? I mean, is it logistically difficult to start looking to nurture a customer base in places like Gauteng or KwaZulu-Natal?
No, I mean, there's already established companies there. And Starting, they're huge. They're the biggest. And I like to be, for me, it's about relationships, and I want those relationships. So I want to be involved and direct. So I'm not looking to grow geographically.
Yes.
We're looking to grow here. And I mean, there is a trend and people are adopting technology. So it is growing. And there's so many things happening now with DIY products and smartphones in our pockets. I mean, we used to sell touch screens for thousands that would stick on a wall, and now we all carry them around in our pockets. So things are changing a lot, and I think there are plenty of opportunities here. And in terms of growth, so through EO, I've now got a coach who's an executive coach. He's based out of Hamburg and busy working on my cycle objectives, and he's going to be with me for 6 months, helping me to kind of get to this result.
Yes.
And it's been a tough time trying to decide on what is the most important thing, because I'm confident that I can get the result with the support, but what is the most important result? So the last few weeks I've been puzzling and nailed it down to just sales. I've got to focus on sales, mm-hmm. and building a bit of a system, so a sales function, so that it doesn't depend solely on me, that I've actually got a person in place and a function to,
yes.
to generate sales on a consistent basis.
That was Darren Swanepoel. He's the founder of D1.